And as you dwell upon that very guilt that you're under as a sinner before God, becomes a great burden, a burden of condemnation. Now, the thing that must grip our hearts here is the abundant life that the Lord Jesus offers to those who believe in him. He said, out of their belly, out of their inner being, will flow rivers, rivers of living water. What a picture. What an amazing picture. Out of our lives, lives that are broken and shattered by the sin and the failure of our own depravity, the Lord pours in so much that there flows out rivers of living water.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we really appreciate the opportunity to minister God's Word afresh today. And I trust that you will stay tuned as later in the program we turn to Come Unto Me, and I Will Give You the Water of Life, the words of the Lord Jesus, John 7:39. We begin with our little devotional from Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. We learned already that this psalm was written in response to Absalom's treachery to his father David. And in this deep, deep sense of treachery, David penned these words, and he quotes here God's sustaining power in verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. The word sustain simply means to bear up or prop. And God was David's sustainer. He was his shield in verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. God was also his glory. And he was his encourager, the lifter up of his head. And in verse 4, he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. And therefore God gave to him the sleep of the blessed. There is a sleep of presumption. May God deliver us from that. But there is a sleep of holy confidence. Let us pray for that. And the Lord gave him faith instead of fear. Our prayer for God's people today is that we be filled with faith to trust the Lord, rather than be filled with fear. And today you may be facing situations that may cause you fear, cause you trepidation. Well, cry out for the Lord to sustain you and to bear you up. At the close of this Psalm 3, David prayed for God to take action. He said, Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies. He called on God to arise, and this is a common term for calling upon God to get involved in the action. David himself was not going to be passive, but he did not want God to be passive. Do we not pray for God to come and fight our battles? Surely that's what this psalm lays out as our example. Now the battle was in the wood of Ephraim. The wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And so God intervened, and God gave the victory to his faithful servant. No doubt it was a mixed blessing for David in that victory, for it meant the death of his own son Absalom. And the lesson for us is that God does enter into our battles, and he does enter into our need. So as we face this new year, let's apply this Psalm 3 to the needs, the burdens, the cares, the battles that we face as Christians. We're going to face the world, we're going to face the devil, we're going to face temptation on every front, but here is the ability to rely on the Lord. Plead that promise, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. The Christian that can get to that praying ground can surely go forward in the Lord's name and in the Lord's grace. May that be your portion and your help even today as you seek to live for the Lord. Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're moving now to our pulpit ministry here at the Free Presbyterian Church to John chapter 7 verse 39, where Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." May that be your portion today as the Lord ministers to your heart. Thank you for listening to our program. Stay tuned right through this message, John 7, 39.
You'll notice the wideness of this cry of the Lord. He said, if any man thirst. The Jews in the area of the temple, they were very scrupulous about keeping the Gentiles out. They would pollute the temple, and there would be all kinds of routines to go through. And so they were absolutely punctilious, even to the point of putting men to death if they dare enter into the temple. But here's the Lord standing now, and he's saying, if any man thirst, what a wide invitation he gives to men, women of all backgrounds, ages, and categories. And here is the cry of the Lord with the good news of the gospel. And you know, the Lord's speaking to you today. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why John 7. I don't know why this text, but the Lord knows. And this is a word for your heart today. If any man thirst, if any man thirst, let him come. Let him come. You can come today and receive of his wonderful fullness. Now that brings me to the claim of the Lord in this invitation, where the Lord Jesus said, let him come unto me. This is a personal claim that the Lord Jesus is giving. And how different from the historical Jewish way. He did not tell of ordinances. He did not tell of feasts. He did not relate historic traditions. He called men to himself. Because here in their midst was the living, incarnate Word, the Son of God, the author of life, the very creator of the world. speaking to them, come unto me. And this is the brilliance of Christianity. This is the very genius of the gospel. Salvation is not a set of principles. Salvation is not following an historic path. Salvation is getting your life linked up with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And the moment that you are linked up or united with the Lord Jesus, you enjoy new life that will meet the very thirst of your soul. Never let anyone deceive you by saying that you need anything other than the Lord Jesus to save and satisfy your soul. Now, that doesn't mean you don't need doctors to attend to your body. It doesn't mean that you don't need other kinds of advisors and counselors and experts that have given their time and life to the study of science and whatever to help you through life. But when it comes to peace with God, when it comes to being right with God, when it comes to having your sins forgiven and the burden of guilt lifted, there's only one person. There's only one person. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you life. Now, you'll notice this claim to fulfill man's personal satisfaction. He goes on to expand on this. We'll go into the next verse here. He says, verse 38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, let's dismiss that, the ugliness of the word belly. We don't normally speak in that way when we talk about spiritual things and spiritual life. But really what this is doing here, it is speaking about the inner life, the heart, the soul, the very inner seat of affections of man. What the Lord meant is the spiritual aspect. You see, man is more than flesh and bones. Man is conscience, emotion, memory, thought, powers of reason. We are what theologians call rational creatures. We can reason from A to B to C, and we can conclude, if I've done this, I'm guilty, and if I'm guilty, I'm condemned. And as you dwell upon that very guilt that you're under as a sinner before God, becomes a great burden, a burden of condemnation. Now, the thing that must grip our hearts here is the abundant life that the Lord Jesus offers to those who believe in him. He said, out of their belly, out of their inner being, will flow rivers, rivers of living water. What a picture. What an amazing picture. Out of our lives, lives that are broken and shattered by the sin and the failure of our own depravity, the Lord pours in so much that there flows out rivers of living water. Now, when you think about this living water, you can draw up a whole list of ideas. It's pure water. Living water is that water that's flowing from the fountain. It's not a stagnant pool. It's flowing. It's living water. It's life-giving water. The water that we need to endure in this dry, dusty world. It's also speaking here of personal joy. It's not just latching onto a group therapy. And you know, the herd mentality, people get happy if they can just follow the crowd. It's not that at all. This is you alone with God. This is between you and the Lord. This is not community treatment. This is you, personal joy. If any man thirst, let him come to me. And he that believeth in me, out of his belly, his inner being, will flow rivers of living waters, personal joy. And you'll notice the overflow here, that you will be living a life that will be a blessing to others. A blessing to others. the overflow of your life. Fathers, do we not need that? Mothers, do we not need that in our families? Children, do we not want to be a blessing in the home? You see, the Lord Jesus can give us such grace, such power, such life, that we have grace abundant and every need supplied. You'll see here there was a claim for the Holy Spirit to enter into our hearts to minister this fullness. In verse 39, it's further developed on. You'll notice a little bracket beginning the verse 39, indeed encircling all of 39. And so our translators are saying that this really is an interpretation. It's expanding on what the Lord was teaching in figurative language. This spake he of the Spirit. Now the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, and he has the power to send the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, he that believeth in me, out of his life shall flow rivers of living water. So when you believe on the Lord Jesus, he sends the Holy Spirit into your life. Now, this really is the miracle of the new birth, whereby we're born again, where we're regenerated and made new creatures in Christ. And I thought about this, it's a bit like rebooting your computer. And you know, sometimes your computer gets into such a state that it's in a mess, there's a glitch, there's just something that won't work, it freezes, and it's all fouled up. What do? You hit the power button, restart. The Lord does that for us. When we have, and Adam, of course, ruined the perfection of man, the sin, the fall, depravity, wickedness come into the human heart, and that's passed on from generation to generation. These lives of ours, there's a glitch. Sin has come in to destroy the program, and we just don't function the way we should. And that's why we live in a world of misery, of sorrow, and even of suicide. The Lord Jesus came to give us new life. Life abundant. Life that never runs dry. That's the amazing and wonderful thing. And in the plan of the gospel, the Lord promises, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Let me ask you today, do you have that? Do you have that new heart? Can you say today that you're living and walking in the Spirit? What a new life it will be, living in the Spirit. What joy it brings to the Christian's life. What benefits flow to the heart from the throne of grace, from Calvary itself, to the believer who applies and receives and enjoys this new life, this life in the Spirit. If you turn with me to Romans 5, and the verse 5, you will learn here this ministry of the Spirit to the justified Christian. Romans 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now you'll notice that the Holy Spirit is God's gift. It's God's gift. You can't work it up. The carnal man in his misery and in his wretchedness cannot make himself a Christian. He cannot live the Christian life in his own strength. He needs to be born of God, and he needs the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then his life is filled with hope. You'll notice how that is put. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. This is the ministry of the Spirit. What a difference from the miserable, pathetic life of the worldling. Oh, the joy, the blessedness of living in this life. You have then the spirit of prayer. Oh, this is the spirit of fellowship. I am in communion with God. You have, as this Romans 5, and we're not going to study Romans 5 now, but if you know the passage, you have justification by faith. You have peace with God. Oh, the blessing of that. We're filled with hope. Hope charity, we have a whole new life to live through the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is another great claim. It claims to bestow this life endlessly, endlessly. Continual supplies of grace. No doubt any thinking person would be asking, well, how long will this last? That's what the drug addict does when he gets a fix. How long does it last? An hour? Half a day? Until the next time he's trembling and shaking for another fix? The alcoholic, likewise, when he turns to the booze, how long does it last? The next day is a hangover, and back to the misery and the agony and the emptiness of it all. And you can go through the vices and the pseudo-false fixes of the devil gives to men. They all lead back to emptiness. But this is rivers of living water. And in the Christian's life, they do not run dry. Indeed, as we press on in the Christian life, the supply can be enjoyed all the more. We can have greater capacity to praise the Lord, greater capacity to believe in Him, greater capacity to enjoy Him. The Lord Jesus said, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And that'll be true in our Christian life. The Lord will not let us go. This is endless. Now, let's apply that to our hearts today. Do you believe this? Jesus saying it. Let him come unto me and drink and drink. He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's every supply promised here. We come now to the criteria, and there are three things that are mentioned here. There's thirst, there's come, and there's receive. If any man thirst, that's the first criteria to receive the grace of the Lord. Now, it doesn't state how much you need to thirst. I know of preachers, and I know of theological views, and they put all the emphasis on how much a man thirsts before he can be a Christian. And unless he thirsts to the nth degree that he's almost a perishing man, he can't be a believer in the Lord Jesus. The Bible never quantifies the thirst. But if you say today that there is within you the very pine and longing to be saved, the Lord speaking to you, the longing to be right with God, that's the qualification, that's the first criteria. Then you are to come. You're to come. Come unto the Lord. And that means you go to Him. Come does not mean stay. Come does not mean sit and go out the door and forget all about it. Come means action. It means that you truly set yourself to have a face-to-face meeting with the Lord. And you can do that today. You can bow the knee in prayer and come face to face with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm empty. My life is so broken. I need your grace in my life. That's coming. And then you'll notice also believing on the Lord. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him. Coming is believing. They really are the one and same thing. Now, faith's to be exercised. Faith is to be put into action. It's to be worked out. When you put faith in a bridge, you walk over the bridge. You don't admire it and say, oh, it's a great bridge and it will carry however many people or however weight of people. You've got to take the step and walk the bridge. And if you're going to receive the life, the grace of the Savior, you've got to come and you've got to put your complete trust in Him. To believe on the Lord demands action. It's not inaction. It's not passivity. It is to earnestly and truly come with all your heart to the Lord Jesus. Now, there must be the link between your soul and the fullness of the Savior, and that link is faith. And you come believing. And just as the oil flowed from the olive trees through the pipes into the lampstand in the tabernacle in Israel, the olive trees, the pipes were grafted in, they were supplying the oil, and the oil flowed through those pipes right to the fire and created the light, fed the lamp. The life of the Lord, or the life of the Spirit of the Lord, must flow into your life. The pipe is cut. If it's never been joined up, you have no light within you. You have no joy. But the Lord says, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And when you confess your emptiness and you come personally in prayer and call on the Lord, asking him to be your Savior, your Redeemer, you're exercising faith and you're trusting in him. And as we go on in the Christian life, we're continually more and more exercising faith, trusting, resting in the supplies of his grace. We're not trusting in an institution. We're not trusting men. We're trusting in our personal Savior and all the fullness that is in him. When the church goes to prayer, what are they doing? They're saying, Lord, without that lifeline, we are dead and dry. And we need you, we need you, and we need your blessing upon our service and ministry. And that's why we have these special prayer times this week, that we might be linked up to the Lord, that we might be a people in the action of faith, calling upon the Lord to be our helper and our Savior.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. It's always a great joy to minister God's Word to you. This summer's outreach, we are planning to distribute a number of thousands of these new booklets, A New Beginning, newly printed. This has been greatly blessed of God over the years, and we've got a brand new copy printed, and we'd love to get one to you, or whatever number you can use. And with a little help with the postage, we will send this out free of charge. And I trust that God will use this in your own life, in your family, and with friends, neighbors, and for general distribution to get the gospel into the hands of men and women. The Apostle Paul said that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And so our responsibility is to take the gospel to men, and I can suggest no easier, better, more efficient way than to present them with this 32-page booklet that will cover what man needs, how God sees men, God's way of salvation, who is Jesus Christ, and how does he save men, and of course, how to be saved and sure of it. I want to get you this booklet called A New Beginning. Just give me a phone call or send me an email, and we'll somehow give you whatever you can use over the summer. So give me a call. The website for all the information concerning our church and radio ministry, our church in Victoria, is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Or give me a phone call, 604-576-1091. We look forward to hearing from you, and join us each day as we let the Bible speak.